Good morning.
Good morning.
It is, as always, really good to be together. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Rock, in the back. Let me go ahead, before we dive into things this morning, let me go ahead and dismiss our young ones. I've seen a few floating around. And so, as we say, if you can fit one of those tiny chairs, it's open to everybody. As long as you can fit into a tiny chair, you are dismissed, released, free. For the rest of us, a bit of a heads up. I'm going to be taking some vacation here. Details aren't quite worked out yet, but here, first part of July, get away with some of our family. And so next Sunday and the Sunday following, Aaron will be bringing the messages for us. And so you can be looking forward to that. And then I'll be back and we'll be diving back into Leviticus, book of Leviticus, Sefer Vayikra in Hebrew, what we have been calling the Jesus backstory. And so we'll get back into that when I return. Keeping in mind, as we have, that over the last several weeks, right, at the very center, at the kind of the heart of the Jesus backstory has been affection and intimacy. It's been come close and draw near, what Rabbi Abraham Weiss describes as an infinite love between God and people, symbolic of the unconditional love that we ought to have for God and that God has for us, and that we should all have for each other. This infinite love, he says, this unconditional love that really finds expression, as we considered last week, that finds expression in prayer. Right? It's my Father and it's your Father. He's my God and he's your God. Our Father in heaven. And it is affection and it is intimacy. It is come close and it is draw near. As the ancient rabbis tell us, great is prayer, greater than all good works. So it's in that spirit today I want to do things a little bit differently. I want to invite us into prayer, but not just to talk about prayer, but I want to pray. I want to spend time praying. I want to pray for you. As Paul writes to those in Rome, verse 12, chapter 12 and verse 12, he says, "Be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer." And so with that in mind, as we have at different times over the years, I want to invite us to spend some time in prayer. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Colossians. Grabbing a pew Bible, page 835 will be helpful. The words, as we do here, the words will be on this lovely screen behind me. Thank you again to Rock. We studied this letter in whole all the way back in 2012. This is really, I think, a beautiful text to lead us into prayer, to invite us into the activity of praying. Colossians was a letter Paul wrote to those in Colossae, four chapters, and here in the fourth chapter, so he's kind of getting to the point of wrapping this up, and he writes in 4 and 2, he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer." Devote yourselves to prayer. In effect, he's saying, listen up, pay attention. He's thinking about, okay, I've written this letter, I'm three chapters in, and now what do I want to leave them with? What do I want to kind of leave here so that they can really take this to heart and mind? What are my kind of last words to them? And here in 4 and 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. That word devote, in the Greek, it can mean be persistent, unrelenting. It's this idea of persevering, perseverance. In fact, in many translations, it reads, be persevering in prayer. And then from there, Paul concludes his letter by naming a number of people, which is not an uncommon way in the ancient world to wrap up a letter. And so the list of names in itself is not all that unusual, not for Paul, not for those in the ancient world. But what we want to get is that underneath this list of names is story after story after story. We could even, to borrow a phrase, we could say the backstory. Right? Paul gives us these illustrations of what it means to be really kind of connected in a prayer-filled relationship together. And it is affection, and it is intimacy. It is come close, and it is draw near. And so picking it up here, Paul is wrapping up the letter now. Verse 7, he writes this. He says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. He goes on, he is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They, meaning Tychicus and Onesimus, will tell you everything that is happening here. So stepping into the scene for a moment, Paul writes, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. Keeping in mind, Paul is in prison. In this letter, it has to be hand-delivered, right? And as we all are probably well aware, there were no iPhones in that day, right? There's no phones, there's no email, there's none of all that, what, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever else is out there today. And so again, it has to be hand-delivered. And so Paul says, Tychicus, you're the man. You're the one that I want to go. And then he says, oh, by the way, he's also coming with Onesimus. And so to kind of dial into the heart of Paul here, again, Paul is in Rome. He's in prison. If not in prison, he's under house arrest. Either way, he is in chains by his own admission in this letter. And he's just written this letter then, pouring out his heart for these people, for this community, this gathered community of Jesus followers in Colossae. And so we can kind of imagine Paul, what might be Paul thinking here? And we can imagine maybe he's thinking, who can I send that will communicate for me? Who can I send that will share my heart for these people? Who can I send that will share about my circumstance, but not only that, who will go and be an encouragement? Who will go and be an encouragement? And so we read here for Paul, that name is Tychicus. Right? Tychicus will tell you all about me, will tell you all about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. Noting the word encourage here is from parakaleo in the Greek. It means to call alongside. It's this idea of to comfort, to support. It can have this idea of to cheer up. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe today you are in that place. Maybe today you are in that place and you need someone. You need someone to come alongside. You need someone to come alongside with and offer some comfort and give you some support to lift you up. Maybe you're here today and there's a struggle. There's a challenge in front of you. There's an ache. And you need a Tychicus. You need encouragement. Well, if that is you today, I want to pray for you. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to stand up. But I want to pray for you this morning. If that is not you, maybe there's someone you know. Maybe someone comes to mind. Maybe it's a friend, a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's an enemy. But somebody you know that needs some encouragement today. And so if this is you today, I want to pray for you. If this is a family member, a friend, would you pray with me silently? God, we ask today as a community, as a community, as a gathering of your followers, we ask today, Lord, that for those who are feeling discouraged, for those for whom life feels an extra bit heavy right now, we ask, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit to lift, to encourage, to comfort. that we and they would sense and know of your deep love. And for each one of us, would you also move in us, bring to our attention, both now and as we go from here, bring to our hearts and minds those moments when you would have us encourage another. Maybe it's through an act of sharing, maybe it's through an act of service, or just sitting and listening together, being present with another. May we be that for one another as you are for us our encourager. So Lord, be our encouragement today. In us and through us, lift our spirits, we pray. Amen. Paul continues on then. He comes to verse 10. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So first off here, we begin with Aristarchus, which is just a profoundly awesome sort of name. We then read, it says he sends greetings. Sends greetings, as does Mark, cousin of Barnabas. And then we get this kind of interesting note, right? Instructions have been received. And then it says that if Mark arrives, the church, they are to welcome him. Which begs the question, so what is this about? What's kind of underneath that? And for that, I want us to jump over to Acts 15. The words will be on the screen behind me. And I want to pick up Acts 15 and verse 36 just for a moment. We read there, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. And so in a sense here, Paul is wanting to do what we might call a reunion tour. Right, he wants to head back and visit all the familiar places, see all the familiar faces, kind of check in, see how people are doing. It's interesting because in that we read, Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. It says they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas then took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through then Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And so here we have Paul and Barnabas kind of in this, well, it even says, sharp disagreement, right? And they each go their own separate ways. They part company, but underneath it is really Paul and Mark who are at odds. As we read that Paul did not think it wise to take Mark because he had deserted them, right? He had not continued in the work. And so really the underlying sort of division here is between Paul and Mark, which is sort of fascinating because if we go back then to Colossians in verse 10, my fellow prisoner, he says, Aristarchus sends you greetings, as does his other fellow prisoner, John Mark. Meaning Paul and Mark have had some face-to-face time. Right? Paul and Mark have spent some time talking. And then in verse 10, Paul writes this. He says, you have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. And what this, I think, tells us is that a conversation has happened, right? That there's been a mending of hearts. That disagreement they have, we could say that disagreement, that dispute, it's not the end of the story, right? That forgiveness is real, reconciliation is possible, which then comes again to you and me. How about you and me? Is there a relationship in your life that is in need of healing? Again, don't raise your hand. You don't need to stand up. Is there a relationship in your life today that is in need of some healing? Is there a situation, a dispute, a disagreement in some way that where there's you're at odds with, right? There's a difference of opinion or thought or idea. And maybe there's been a parting of the ways, whether that's a physical parting or maybe like Paul and Mark, God is speaking into that and saying, whatever that is for you, it is not the end of the story. Maybe like Paul, God is saying that grudge, that resentment, that bitterness, maybe it's time to let it go. Again, you don't need to raise your hand or stand up, but if that's you today, if you have a relationship that is not in the place that you would like it to be, I want to pray for you. If that's, again, not you, maybe it's someone you know. Maybe it's a family member, a friend, a neighbor. Let's take a moment and pray. Our Father in heaven, as much as we all long for relationship with you and with others, relationships we know you know can be really tough, and we don't always get along. We don't always see things the same way, and sometimes we say and do things that are painful to others, painful even to ourselves. So Lord, for those in need of a healing touch today, I pray, God, for you to come into those tender spots. Come into those places of disagreement and dispute, God, with your grace and your love. Bring peace and wholeness, that our hearts and our minds may be renewed, that our relationships may be reborn. In your precious name we pray. Amen. And then verse 11, Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. And then we get here this kind of interesting line. I think it kind of seems thrown in. It's an odd little verse in my mind, but it says, "These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me." Now why did Paul write that? And I think, remember, Paul was Jewish. And for much of his experience here, he's working with Gentiles, with those with a Greek background, people who didn't maybe grow up kind of in that world of talking about Yahweh. They may not believe in God, or they probably do, but it's probably many gods. And perhaps Paul is saying here, this ministry, this life, the stuff that I'm doing, it really gets pretty lonely. At times I simply feel all alone. And again, I don't know about you. Maybe you can relate to this morning. I know I do. I do at times. Times where it just feels lonely, all alone. Sometimes even in a room of people. Sometimes it's lonely because you feel like you're doing your best. You're putting it out there. You're working hard. You're investing in that project, that relationship, and yet, where's this all going? Does it really matter? Am I getting anywhere? And sometimes it's the strength for even just one more step starts to feel overwhelming. And like Paul, he recognizes he needs others. He needs others to come around, and as he says, comfort, bring comfort. I think we all need that. So this morning, if you find yourself kind of pressing into some of those areas, feeling lonely, isolated maybe you feel like just somebody to sit with you and to hold you in that space even. So if that is you, I want to invite you this morning to receive this prayer. Again, maybe you know someone, maybe someone that God is inviting you to reach out to. But would you pray with me? God, we ask that for those of us who, and I imagine each one of us at different times, we feel alone, isolated, maybe misunderstood. So God, we pray for your Spirit to come right now to bring comfort to those places of ache, to those places of loneliness. God, we need to be reminded of your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we ask that you would surround and embrace each one here this morning. And maybe, God, you are calling us to be an answer to this prayer. Maybe you are calling us, that person that's come to mind, to be that kind of people together. To never leave, to never forsake. That we might be the body of Christ for one another. That even we might slow down and just simply be with one another. To pause, to stop, to listen, to step together into that ache. Amen. Verse 12, Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. It's interesting here, the wrestling in prayer. That word wrestling comes from the Greek agonizomai. Agonizomai, it's where we get our word agony. And I wonder, what if we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that somebody like that was praying? You know, and I think about this story here, and I think about, you know, that time at 2:30 in the morning when you're woken up and maybe you're not quite sure why, or someone's name comes to mind. You don't know the situation. You don't know all that's going on. Maybe you're out in the afternoon. Maybe you're at the park and you're just hanging out, and a name pops into your mind. And again, you don't know why. You don't know what's going on. And maybe that's okay. Maybe we don't need to know. Maybe that's not the important thing, right? The important thing is that we wrestle, that we agonizomai, right? To be in prayer for one who is burdened, right? To help carry that sort of sacrifice, that agony of praying. Or maybe you're here today and the thing that is going on, that challenge, that struggle, that uncertainty, that ache, and you are needing this kind of prayer. You're needing someone to agonizomai. Well, I want to pray for you this morning. And again, maybe if you're not in one of these places of discouragement or loneliness, maybe there's someone that you know, but let's pray. Let's pray together. God, we ask you for your strength. We ask for those who are wrestling in prayer, those who carry the agony that comes with praying for others. Strengthen each of us, Lord, that we might listen well to your promptings, to be faithful to pray when you call. And for those, Lord, who are in that place of deep need, we pray for that one right now and ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to intercede. Where we know not what to pray, God, we ask you to pour out your Spirit. God, call upon your people. Move us, shake us, wake us, that we might be a people who wrestle for one another and be ever faithful to pray. Amen. Verse 14, our dear friend Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he also wrote one of the four Gospels. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas, they send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Nympha and the church in her house. Paul says there's this little church. It's near Laodicea. And apparently there's this woman who has opened up her home. And I don't know about you, but I can imagine, at least in part, and again, we don't really know, but I can imagine Nympha, at least, a part of her thinking, I can't do this. I mean, my house isn't big enough, and it's always a mess. And on top of that, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to lead this thing. And so you can imagine the insecurity, vulnerability. But then imagine, here she is. She's with this gathering of other followers of Jesus, right there in the midst of this gathering at Colossae. And remember, not everyone had their own letter to Colossians, right? I mean, they didn't have their own copy of the Bible. They didn't even have their own copy of this letter, right? This was a letter that was sent, and it would be read out loud, and so the people would gather around, and it would be read to them. But imagine she's sitting there. She's listening to the letter. Perhaps her mind starts to wander a little bit, as we do. I know that hasn't happened to anybody here this morning, but that can happen, right, where our mind starts to wander a little bit. And then she starts to hear these names kind of scroll by. And then she hears something about these brothers and sisters in Laodicea. And she thinks to herself, huh, she perks up a little bit. And she says, I know some of these brothers in Laodicea. I know these sisters. And then imagine she hears her name. She hears her name. And imagine what happened in her spirit. Right? Imagine what maybe happened to all of that insecurity, that sense of being a nobody. A sense that I can't do this. And I sort of think, and if you've been around for a while, you'll know what I mean by this, but I kind of wonder and think that Paul might have even known something about the Partiote. Right, I think that Paul maybe went back there and pulled out from there, right? That each one, everyone has value and worth. Each one, everyone has equal value and equal worth. Each one, everyone matters. And I think Paul kind of pulled that out and he gave her name. And maybe like Nympha today, maybe life feels incredibly overwhelming. Like there's so much, and you're being asked to do it, and with that comes all sorts of uncertainty and insecurity. Maybe you feel like you're in way over your head, like this thing, I can't do it all. I imagine you're doing the best you can, and yet there's that gnawing sort of feeling of just feeling inadequate. Like if only they really knew. And so if that's you today, I want to pray for you. If you're feeling a bit in over your head, if it all feels overwhelming, again, if you know someone, family, friend, join with me. But let's pray. God, we simply ask that you would come and be with us. Be with those, each one of us, no doubt, who are feeling uncertain and insecure, who are feeling overwhelmed, wondering, who am I? I'm nobody. May we hear the echo down all the way from the Jesus backstory, reminding us that we have worth and value, that we do matter. May we hear you calling out our name. And with that, we ask you to come and have mercy on us. Remind us that even in our weakness, you are strong. And so as we hold on to you, Lord, lead and guide our steps. In Jesus' name, amen. And then verse 17, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you received in the Lord. Archippus, for whatever reason, kind of feels a bit singled out here. I imagine that probably felt both awkward and kind of awesome at the same time. It seems that Archippus was maybe stalling out or burning out. Maybe he had been running so hard and so fast for so long. And again, I don't know, maybe you've had that. Maybe your job, your kids, the family, like where you've been just going at it so hard, working so hard and so fast, keeping on, and you are just worn out. You are tired. Not sure maybe even if it's worth it. Am I making any sort of real difference? Maybe that's you today, and if that is, I want to pray for you today. Again, if it's not you, maybe someone comes to mind, so let's take a moment and pray. God, no doubt that each one of us at times, we feel like giving in, giving up. We're tired, we're worn out. Even one more step feels far too much. And so it's into that space, God, I would ask, come Holy Spirit. Come into those places where we feel burdened, where we are weary, troubled, not sure how or if we can even go on. God, I would ask that you would come into that ache and that you would renew us and restore us, that as we wait on you, we would mount up with wings like eagles, that we would run and not be weary, that we might walk and not faint. In Jesus' name, amen. And then to kind of wrap it up, Paul closes his letter. He says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. And I can imagine Paul here, he gets to this point here, and he's kind of like, you know, guys, we've talked about Mark. Talked about Aristarchus, we've talked about Epaphras and Nympha, Archippus. But I also need to tell you about me. I also need to share with you me. And so I'm writing this in my own hand, and I need you to remember I am in chains. Remember I'm here in prison, locked up. And it's really, really hard. It's really, really hard. And notice here, it's interesting. He doesn't say, come get me. He doesn't say, come break me out. He just says, remember me. Right? He says, remember my chains. In fact, remember my story. And then he says, grace be with you. In a way, I think Paul is reminding us that each one of us needs each one of us. That we need each other, right? The struggles, the challenges, the ache, the angst, whatever it is that we're feeling, the hard stuff of life, whatever it is right now for you, right? Paul says, I'm right there with you. I'm in the middle of it. And I want you to know that each one of us needs each one of us. And Paul says, I'm there with you, and so is God's grace. Jody Hills, author of Imperfect Life, she wrote this beautiful, I think, sentiment, kind of in that place of when you're feeling worn out, tired, exhausted, overwhelmed, discouraged, lonely, when you're feeling like you just can't take another step. She writes this, she says, grace sat with me until I could walk in it again. Grace sat with me until I could walk in it again. Right? It's that picture of you and me going through life, and we're in that kind of place of exhaustion, and we just don't know if we can make it another step. And here's this picture of grace. Grace is sitting right next to us. Grace is sitting right next to you, saying, as long as it takes, as long as it takes, until you are ready, until you are ready to walk again. I'm going to invite Roger, if you would go ahead and come back up. We're going to have a closing song. Before we do, I want to offer us one last prayer, and then Roger will lead us in a closing song together. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for these moments together. For each one here today for whom the stuff of life indeed does feel a bit much, overwhelming, for each one who feels discouraged, alone, for each one who feels maybe less than, feels troubled, uncertain, insecure, God, we would ask this morning for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit that we might rest in your grace. And so come sit with us, that we might walk in your grace always. And in Jesus' name, amen.